Let's go right on into chapter 3. Verses 1 through 5 shows also that in the last days perilous time should come. This know also. The word also just carries the thought that we've had on top of what we learned in chapter 2. Also know this, that in the last days perilous time shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, deferers, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but desiring the power thereof. From such turn away. So without doubt, this is the end time message. We're talking about the coming of Christ for the church. And as we look around us in this world, we see the conditions of the world. We know that we're living in these last times, without doubt. We believe that Paul was looking for the coming of the Lord in his time. And we look at conditions, and they're much worse today, spiritually, than they were then. Back in his days, there were people who were looking for the truth. Now, people are looking to be entertained. They're not looking for the truth. Paul was able to go from city to city and draw a crowd and teach people. Now, people don't want the truth. And another thing, we believe that Paul was looking for the coming of the Lord is what he told Titus in chapter 2, verse 13, when he said, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Paul told Titus to look. How much more is he telling us to look today? The world that we live in today is more dangerous, not because man's nature is any different. Men's nature has always been the same, but because there's more tools of death today, there's more dangerous equipment in this world today than there's ever been, more inventions of dangerous things, and not only natural, but spiritual dangers too. You know, radio and television, these things can transport a good message, but they can also transport evil message just as well. So we can see all of these things. Verses 2 through 5 describe the condition of men who are lovers of their own self. And we see these men as being, in chapter 2, as being know-it-alls too. So let's look at these groups. For the first group, these are all in fours. And group 1 is covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous. Group 2 is disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, and without natural affections. Group 3 is truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, and furious. Group 4 is despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded. Now there's 16 of those, and 16 is a number of 4 times 4, or the number of the world squared. You know what it means to square a number? Well, then we end with the two others, two more. One is lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, in verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. In Colossians 3:5, tells us that covetousness is idolatry. People make an idol of themselves, lovers of their own selves, instead of lovers of God. This makes themselves to be their own idol. This causes them to be boasters. This causes them to be proud. They're looking, shall say, taking glory away from God, which is blasphemous. When children are not made to obey their parents, which is the next one, they become unthankful, unholy, and without natural affections. You see, all of this falls into place. There's a verse in Proverbs 22:15, and it says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. And another verse in Proverbs 29:15, it says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. How good it is to bring up a child in the way it shall go. It's good for everybody, especially God's children. The next one is truce breakers, false accusers, countenant, furious, Now, some people never know the value of keeping a promise. They make them with no intentions of ever doing it. Yeah, I'll be there, but they don't have any intentions of showing up. It's so easy to shift blame on somebody else, and it makes the person that shifts the blame look good and the other person bad. Incontinent is to be weak without any power of self-government. A want of strength to govern their appetite for lust for anything is the thought of that. Now, this leads into a savage life, to live like a wild beast. Oh, and that's the thought of being fierce. The fourth group is despiser of those that are good, traitor, heady, high-minded. And the word despisers is actually three Greek words. It's philos plus agathos. I can't think of the other one now. But the thought of the word is no love for those who are inwardly good. And religious people hate those who love the truth. And that's our thought. Traitors, what does that mean? Well, it means to deliver up those who give up to the enemy. That's what a traitor is. He's gone on the other side. He's given himself up to the enemy. And he not only that, but most time he delivers their riches to the enemy. So, and they'll take your crown away from you, crown of rejoicing. The word heady means to fall headlong or head forward, head on. Another thought there is to be headstrong, which leads to high-mindedness. They esteem themselves to be head and shoulders above everyone else. And in, we have this thought in Romans 12:3, where Paul said, "For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Now the last two brings us to a climax of those in the last day condition. First, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And we believe that we're living in these times right now as we look around us, as we search hearts, we ask, is this true in me? Do I love pleasure than more than I do God? Well, I think it's easy to fall in this trap of loving pleasure. This trap has been set by Satan. He sets all of these glamorous things before us, and they look so pleasing to the eye, just like the fruit that Eve looked at. It was pleasing to the eye, and so does these things. And she fell into the trap, and we fall into the same trap if we don't know the word and stand for the word. We must put ourselves in balance to see where our love, our first love, is today. Have we left our first love like the Ephesians did in Revelation 2, verse 4? We examine our heart. And I think this takes a continual examination for us. In Colossians 1:18, read, how'd that go? That Christ is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. And this is the part I want. But that in all things he might have the preeminence, or to have first place. Now the last of the verse in verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. There are these who appear to be godly, but only on the surface. Paul describes these in 1 Timothy 6, from verses 3 to 6, where he says, If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and striving with words, wherefore cometh envy, strife, railing, evil, submissions, doting or harping upon, perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw yourself. And again in Titus 1:16 we read, they profess that they know God, but by works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and every good work reprobate, which is, the word reprobate is to be rejected or to be worthless. So they contradict the word, reject the abundance of the power, how it works in people's lives. There's so much religion, so many cults in the world today, and they seem to be growing all the time, growing fast. Surely we are in the last days, and who can dispute this? Verse 6, for of this sort they are which creep into houses, lead captive silly women, laden with sin, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. It is out of this kind of people that we just read that Satan uses to spread his falsity. He knows just which house to send his evil workers to. And they go there and they sneak into these houses where silly women live. Silly women laden with sin. And they are led away with different kinds of lusts. Their conscience being bothered by guilt. They're gullible and easy to be led captive. They seem to know, these people that go into these houses seem to know and even quote scripture, but they twist it. They twist the scriptures, and they're never able to come into the knowledge of the truth. Now, verse 8, you have an example. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. We would not have known the names of these two people in Exodus 7, verse 11, concerning Pharaoh. He called these wise men. He called them, they're called sorcerers and magicians of Egypt. And they did the same thing as Moses with enchantments. Now, Paul called them out by name. And according to J.B. Jackson's Dictionary of Proper Names, the word Jannes means he that vexes or oppresses. And Jambres means a foaming healer. Give you time to write those down. Now from this, we might conclude that Jannes was a politician or was on the political side, and Jambres on the spiritual side. But when they met Moses, they were both counterfeits. And I think in the last days, they represent the Antichrist and the false prophet, because the Antichrist will be political and the false prophet will be religious. And he's working today. There's three things said concerning them. One, they resist the truth. Two, they're men of corrupt minds. And three, they're reprobates concerning faith. That is, they're unapproved concerning faith. God rejects them because of their faith. Verse 9, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs was also. They will advance and grow just for a while, but they'll never prevail against the truth. Why? Because the foundation of God is the only thing that'll stand sure. And their foundation is like building a house on the sand, isn't it? It's shifty. Verses 10 through 13. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose of faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, afflictions which came to me at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Isn't that beautiful? Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The word fully known here is parakoletheo, means to follow or accompany someone closely, or to be by one side. Para is always preposition alongside of, or to be by his side. Well, this is how Timothy knew Paul's teachings. That was given, Christ gave it to Paul, and Paul gave it to Timothy. And we have it today. And oh, that we follow too. We follow close to his teachings. And go along with his manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, patience, persecution, afflictions. They must all have been terrible on Paul, but God, but God, don't you like that, was faithful. He delivered Paul out of them all, not just some, but all. And he will deliver us out of them all, too. This is his promise. These are all signs of end time. Two things we know, that all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall, not perhaps, but shall suffer persecution. And another thing we know is that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We know these will happen. Verses 14 and 15. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast assured of them, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And back in chapter 1:13, we read, who before was a blasphemer, persecutor, injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorant and in unbelief. And then in chapter 2, verse 2, Paul said, to pray for kings and all them that are in authority, that we may live a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Now, continued to walk, how shall I put this? He's talking to Timothy, and he says, Timothy, you continue to walk as I have taught you to walk. The things that you have been convinced of because of the way I taught you. You have trusted in the one who taught you. Now this grandmother, mother, and also Paul, they were the ones that taught him, who had received it from an unchangeable God, unchangeable Christ. Peter gives us a thought in 2 Peter 3:15 and 16 of this same thought. An account of that long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even our brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written to you, as also in his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some hard to understand, which they are unlearned and unstable wrist or twist, as they do the other scriptures unto their own destruction. So Peter here considered Paul's writings equal to other scriptures. And another thought is in 1 Corinthians 2:12, he says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but also the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual with things with spiritual. So let's stop there and take a break. All right, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfectly furnished unto all good works. The words of God are called sacred scriptures. It's not just some writings that man might write, but it's God that God breathed, or were words that God breathed. It's formed by Greek word theos and pneu. Pneu would be the rendering of that. It's to breathe hard. So it's God's breath of life, the word of God is. The word is profitable to us for four things: doctrine, instructions in the way of life, and when we need to be taught by the word. It's the only thing that is true, the only thing we can stand on. For reproof, there's not enough evidence to bring conviction to the heart except by the word of God. It's the only thing that can do this. The third one is for correction. Conviction will straighten our lives out for service and correct us in things. Instruction in righteousness, the thought is for disciplinary correction. Chastisement that changes our character. Now all of this is in order that every person belonging to God be completely and fully equipped, and his labors be what God wants them to be. And we'll close this in 1 Timothy 6:11, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness."